Good evening, good evening, good evening. It was nice, Kyle. All right. Well, we are almost at 7 o'clock, a.k.a. running a little behind. So we are going to kick it in overdrive. I'm skipping the introduction, and we're jumping right to the meat of tonight. So go ahead and be grabbing your Bibles. Go to Luke chapter 5. We're going to be in Luke chapter 5 tonight. I want to ask you a question. What would you be willing to do for your friends? What would you be willing to do to save your friends? Tonight we're going to read a story of some men that saw that their friend had a need. He had a serious need, and these guys were willing to do whatever was necessary to saw that their friend was healed, to saw that their friend had his need met. So if you're in Luke chapter 5, go with me to verse 17, and when you get there, go ahead and stand. We're going to begin reading in verse 17, and we're going to read through verse 21. On one of those days, as he was teaching, that's Jesus, Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there, who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with him to heal. And behold, some men were bringing on a bed a man who was paralyzed, and they were seeking to bring him in and lay him before Jesus. But finding no way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and let him down with his bed through the tiles into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said, "Man, your sins are forgiven you." Let's pray. Father, we love you and we thank you so much for this evening. And I just ask a blessing over tonight, over these students, that you would give us ears to hear, but that also, Father, you would give me words to speak, and that tonight would all be about you and lifting the name of Jesus high. In your son's name I pray. Amen. So we open up this story, and we have Jesus probably in a house church somewhere, and he's teaching, and you kind of catch that he's got, like, the religious leaders are all up front. You know, all the religious people are obviously have to be at the very front. So he's sitting here teaching, got the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and all these leaders are sitting there listening to Jesus. And then you kind of get a glimpse of, like, a side story kind of going on. And what you see in the side story is that there were these guys, and they were trying to get their paralytic friend to Jesus. They had probably heard about Jesus, probably heard of who he was, heard of what he was doing, the miracles he was performing. And they looked at their paralyzed friend and saying, "This is what we have to do. If this Jesus guy can heal, this is what we have to do. We have to get him to Jesus." And so that's what they did. They loaded up all their stuff. They put their buddy on a stretcher and they headed for where Jesus was, because they knew that their paralytic friend, they knew that he needed Jesus. And so what you have is these guys finally get to where Jesus is teaching, get to this house church. They arrive and they're confronted with the problem. They cannot get to Jesus. So as you read, they can't get there because there's this massive crowd of people, which is expected, especially if Jesus is teaching. Like, hopefully there's going to be a massive crowd. So they get there, they have their buddy, they're ready to go see Jesus, and they can't. They can't get through the crowd. And what I love about these guys is they do not give up. They don't give up. They don't make excuses. They were going to find a way. So I can just imagine they're kind of congregating amongst themselves, kind of talking. And they're looking, okay, so we can't get through the crowd, so what are we going to do? What are we going to do? How are we going to get our friend to Jesus? Because he needs Jesus. And then I can just imagine one of them, like, piping up and be like, "Hey, I've got an idea. Let's send him through the roof." Like, can you imagine, like, the other guys are like, "Okay, out of all the ideas that we could possibly have, this is the best idea. Let's send the dude through the roof." Everyone's like, "Well, you got a better idea?" "No." "Do you have a better idea?" "No." All right, that's what we're doing. Let's put them through the roof. And so that's what they decide to do. So here they are. They're on their journey. They're on their mission to get their friend to Jesus. They get on top of the roof. And I love this. It doesn't say they lowered him over the roof. It wasn't like on the side of the roof and they're kind of lowering him down the side of the house. No, it says he went through the tiles. As if going up on the roof and lowering him over the roof wasn't good enough. They had to dig a hole out of the roof. And they had to put their buddy through the hole to get him to Jesus. I mean, can you imagine like being in the crowd at that moment? Like sitting there listening to Jesus' teaching. Then all of a sudden you start hearing this like noise and you start feeling some dirt kind of hit your head. You look up and there's just this massive stretcher with this paralyzed guy coming down from the ceiling. Like, Jesus, I know you're teaching on some good stuff, but we have an issue. Dude's coming down from the ceiling. Like, we've got to deal with this. But I'm thinking about this story, and think about those friends for a second. Think about what they just did. Their friend needed Jesus, and they literally just ripped the roof off of this house to get their friend face to face with Jesus. Those are some good friends right there. Those were good friends. They knew the need, and they were literally ready to do whatever was necessary to get him to Jesus. But then look at verse 20 with me. If you still have your Bible open, go to verse 20. So they've got him there. They've lowered him through the roof. They've put him before Jesus. They've removed all the obstacles. They got around the crowd, got around the roof. Here he is before Jesus. And here's what happens. When he saw their faith. I'm going to stop there for just a second. So they just went through all of this trouble to get their friend to Jesus. Why? Why in the world did they just do what they did to get their friend to Jesus? And I think it's that word faith. They truly believed Jesus is what he needed. They, without a shadow of a doubt, said Jesus can heal him. They had faith that Jesus was going to make their friend better. And so in thinking about their faith, it lets us see this is why they were willing to do crazy things for their friend, because they had an unwavering belief that Jesus was the cure for their friend, and they wanted to get him to Jesus. And then look what happens at the end of verse 20. And when he saw their faith, Jesus said this, "Man, your sins are forgiven." And if you go over to verse 24, what you're going to see is he's going to tell, after some confrontation with the Pharisees and the religious leaders over forgiveness of sins, he's going to look at the paralytic and say, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And what you see is that these men, they had faith that Jesus could heal their friend. And Jesus does just that. He heals this paralytic. This man who entered this house on a stretcher, paralyzed, unable to walk, is leaving on his own two legs, carrying the very bed that brought him in. Why? Because Jesus was able to heal him, and these men believed that, and they had faith in that. So my question to you tonight is this. What are you willing to do to bring your friends to Jesus? What are you right now willing to do to bring your friends to Jesus? We opened up this semester with the story of Philip and Nathanael. You guys hopefully remember that. We've been referencing to it all semester so far. So that's this entire series. And the story goes like this, if you're new with us. Jesus goes and finds this man named Philip. And then Philip goes and finds his friend Nathanael. And when Philip goes and finds Nathanael, he tells Nathanael all about Jesus. And he goes and introduces Nathanael to Jesus. And then what do you see? Jesus saves Nathanael. And so from the very beginning of this series, we asked you this. Who is your Nathanael? Who is that person in your life that does not know Christ? Who's that person that you see on a daily basis, on a regular basis, that you know does not profess Jesus as Lord? Who is that person in your life that God probably has them there for a specific reason, so that you would be their Philip. What are you willing to do to get them to Jesus Christ? What are you willing to do to see that that person comes face to face to Jesus Christ? Because what we need to remember as Christians in this room, as believers in this room, you're Nathaniel, whoever that person is that God's put on your heart, their biggest need in this life is Jesus Christ. Their biggest need in this life is salvation. They don't need money. They don't need more relationships. They don't need acceptance. They don't need love. They don't even need your friendship. Those are great. Those are great things. But those are not the deepest needs of their heart. The deepest needs of their heart is to be saved. The deepest needs of your friend's heart is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and have their sins forgiven. I want to look back at this story. And I want us to notice something that if you were reading it quickly, you may not have picked up. So we have these buddies, and they're taking their paralytic friend. They're wanting to get him to Jesus. He's paralyzed. They're thinking Jesus can heal him, so they're going to get him to Jesus. And so the full intent of them taking their friend to Jesus is for him to heal them of his paralysis. But look back at what Jesus says in verse 20. Here they are, this paralytic friend's laying in front of Jesus. He sees their faith, and Jesus says this, "Man, your sins are forgiven." Did you catch that? So here these men are, this paralytic, they're coming in, they're wanting to be healed, they're wanting their friend to be healed of his paralysis, but that's not what Jesus does. What does Jesus do? He heals him of what? He heals him of his problem of sin. You see, they thought that their friend's biggest issue was that he was paralyzed. They thought that their friend's biggest issue was that he couldn't walk. But what Jesus teaches us is this. In no way at all was that his biggest issue. This man's biggest issue, our biggest issue, is our need for spiritual restoration. Our biggest issue is to be saved and forgiven of our sins. You see, your Nathaniel, that person in your life that you know does not know Christ, they probably have in their mind what their biggest need is. They probably have developed in their mind, this is what I need. Whether it's money, whether it's car, whether it's fame, whether it's a relationship, whether it's sex, whether it's friendship, whether it's maybe a physical illness to be cured. They probably have articulated what their biggest need in their life is. But what you and I know is that is not their biggest need. Their biggest need is to be forgiven of their sins. Their biggest need is salvation. Because what we also know as believers in Jesus is that those who are separated from Christ, they're sick. They are sick. They are sick with a deadly disease called sin. But as Christians, man, we have the cure for this disease of sin. And the cure for this disease of sin rests in the gospel of Jesus Christ. The cure for this disease of sin rests in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Our friends need Jesus more than anything else because they are sick. They are sick with sin, just as we were sick with sin. And at one time, our biggest need was salvation. They have a disease called sin, and Jesus can cure them. But if Jesus is the cure, if Jesus is what this world needs, if Jesus is what your friend needs, are you willing to do what is necessary to get them in front of Jesus? Man, think to this, these examples of these men. These men, and they were willing to remove any and every obstacle if it meant getting their friend to Jesus. The crowd, nope, let's go around them. The roof, all right, let's dig out a hole. They found a way. They made no excuses in getting their friend to Jesus because they knew what? He needed Jesus. Hear me, students. People need Jesus. This world needs Jesus. Your friend needs Jesus. What are you willing to do to get them there? What are you willing to do to see that they are laying on their stretcher at the foot of Jesus? with their sins completely uncovered, are you willing to invite them to church with you? I know that sounds simple, but I was reading a statistic the other day. 75% of people that attended the Billy Graham Crusade, or 75% of people that made a profession of faith at these Billy Graham Crusades, were brought by a Christian friend. What it was Christians bringing their non-Christian friends, and three-fourths of the people coming to Christ were brought by believers. So let me ask you this. When was the last time you invited someone to church? When was the last time you invited someone to come with you, come under the preached word of God, hear the gospel? And there's power in bringing them among the body of Christ, hearing the name of Christ lifted high. Are you willing to invite them to church? Are you willing to get them a Bible? I know that sounds weird, but are you willing to go up to your friend and say, listen, I love you, God loves you, and I want you to read about it. Here's a Bible. Here's a Bible with your name on it. And I did this for you so you can hear the gospel, so you can read the message of the gospel. Are you willing to share the story gospel track? We have some of these sitting up here on the table. Are you willing to sit down with a friend, have that awkward conversation that many of us are saying, I don't want to do that. It's uncomfortable. It's weird. They look at me funny. They think about me weird. Are you willing to have that conversation because you know it's what they need? Are you willing to put the gospel above your friendship, above your relationship, and tell them the truth? Not just sit back and just let them continue doing what they're doing and just thinking you're being a good friend. The most loving thing you could ever do for a person, hear me on this, the most loving thing you could ever do for a person is tell them the gospel. The most unloving thing you could ever do for a person is withhold the message of the gospel. Are you willing to put the gospel above that friendship? Tell them the truth. Tell them they have a sin problem. But then tell them that you know the cure. You know that Jesus can cleanse them from their sin. And here's what I would tell you. There's always going to be obstacles. Man, these men were faced with obstacle after obstacle. There will always be obstacles in reaching out to people and sharing your faith. Because here's what I know. You have an enemy. And his name is Satan. He wants nothing more than to destroy you and to keep the name of Jesus from going forth. You have an enemy. And the easy thing for you to do would be to give up. What he would love nothing more is for you to make an excuse, give up, and not do what Jesus has called us to do. I mean, look to the guy's example. They went around every obstacle. They literally ripped the roof off of this house because their friend needed Jesus. And they got him there. The question is, when you are faced with these challenges, because you will be, when you're faced with difficult situations, when you are faced with these obstacles, are you going to be creative and resilient and find a way to get that person to Jesus? Will you be a great friend as these guys were a great friend? Will you be willing to do whatever is necessary because you know, without a shadow of a doubt, that this is what these people need? This is what the world needs. But you have to believe it. You have to believe it. Look back. It was their faith that led them to do the things that they did. It was their faith that led them to take the roof off of the house to get their buddy to Jesus. We have to have faith that Jesus is going to do the only thing Jesus can do, and that is save. Jesus is the only one can save, and we have to believe that without a shadow of a doubt. As we go forward, as we leave this place wanting to make the name of Jesus known, we have to believe in our heart with an unwavering belief that Jesus is going to heal them, that Jesus is going to make them well. And if you're a Christian, you are a living testimony that God can save. You are a walking testimony of the grace of God. And in those moments when you want to give up, in those moments when your faith is weak, remember what God did for you. Think back to how God saved you, and remember that God can do that for this person as well. Do not give up. Have full faith and believe that Jesus can save. And then lastly, that's where you get to watch the miracle of salvation. Man, you've got your friend to Jesus. You've went around the obstacles. You knew their need. You got them there in front of Jesus. You believe without a shadow of doubt that Jesus can save. This is where you get to see what Jesus can do. Save. Remember, it's not our job to save. It's our job to go and tell. It's our job to get our friends in front of Jesus. And I truly believe this. If we are faithful in our part to tell, I truly believe that God will be faithful in his part to save. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to invite the band back up. So band, if you want to come back up. We're closing out the Reach One series tonight. It's over. But if you want to think back to the beginning, the opening question of this series was this. What if we could change the world? I asked that question to you guys January 7th, right here around the same time. What if we could change the world? And I asked you this question because here's the thing. I believe we can. I believe that Go Time Student Ministries, Hardin Baptist Church, the global church of Jesus Christ, I believe that we could change the world. The question is, do you believe that? If you had the cure for cancer, I'm sure many of you in here have been impacted by cancer in some way, maybe a family member, maybe you. If you had the cure for cancer, wouldn't you share it with the world? You wouldn't want to hold that information in. Knowing how many families cancer destroys every year, knowing how many lives it takes year after year, knowing the devastating effects that cancer has on our world, you wouldn't keep that information to yourself. You would go and tell the world, I have the cure to cancer. We, as the church, we, as the body of Christ, we have the cure for the world and its problems. We know the world's problems. It's sin. The world has a problem, and it is sin. And Satan wants nothing more than to keep the world in its bondage of sin. But we have the cure. And the cure rests in the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know the message. You know what Jesus came to do. You know what Jesus did. You know that Jesus lived the life we couldn't, died the death we deserve. And for those that put their faith and trust in Jesus, their sins are forgiven. They are made new. And they are restored back into a right relationship with God. We know the cure for the world and its problems. Let's not sit back and watch sin run its course. We have power over sin and death. Jesus defeated sin and death at the cross. We have power over it. Let's not sit back and watch sin destroy lives. Watch sin destroy families. Watch sin allow people to stay in their sin and lead people to an eternal death. And we would be happy to present the world with the cure to cancer, knowing that it would save millions every year. But we are living in a world right now, at this very second, where people are dying without hearing the name of Jesus Christ. They are dying right now, never have heard the message of the gospel, and they are dying and they are spending an eternity in hell. But we know the message. And we have to be willing to go and tell the message to a world that desperately needs Jesus. My question to you is, what are you willing to do to see that the world comes face to face with Jesus Christ? It's not your job to save. Your job is to get them there. Students, we have the cure. We have the cure to the world and its problems. Now, will you go tell the world this cure? Will you go tell the world the name of Christ and see this world change? If we truly get behind this great commission, if we truly live out the commission that Jesus commanded his disciples to go therefore and make disciples, we could truly change the world. I'm not just blowing smoke. I'm telling you the truth. But we have to believe it. We have to see the need. And we have to be willing to do whatever is necessary to see that this world hears the message of the gospel. And so what we're going to do tonight, if you notice this palette board over here, what we're going to do tonight is first, I want you guys at your seat, come to the altar, wherever, I want you guys to pray. I want you to spend time in prayer. The band's going to play two songs for us tonight, and I want you to spend time in prayer, praying that God would, one, give you boldness and courage to be willing to share your faith, to be willing to give you the boldness to go around any obstacle that Satan throws at you. But then also I want you to just pray. Pray for your Nathaniel. Pray for that person that you know needs Jesus, that is in your life. God has put them there for a reason, and God wants you to tell them the message of the gospel. I want you to spend time in prayer. And then once you've done that, here's what I'm going to ask you. I want you to get up, and I want you to come over here to the pallet boards. At the bottom, there are some things of chalk, and here's what I want you to do. If you come over here, I don't want everyone. I only want you to step over to this area if you're willing to commit to praying for that person, sharing with that person, and no matter whatever it takes to get that person face-to-face to Jesus Christ. If you are willing to commit to living out this great commission message and sharing with your Nathaniel, sharing with that person in your life that you know needs Jesus Christ, I want you to come over here, and all you're going to do is you're going to write the first letter of their first name. And what I want you to do is I want you to go back to your seat. I want you to pray for them. And then I want you to worship. So I want you to pray. I want you to come. And I want you to commit to praying, sharing for that, sharing with that person, and seeing that God will do the only thing that God can do, and that is save. And then tonight, maybe you're in here, and maybe this series, you've realized, I don't know Jesus Christ. This message you're talking about going and sharing, I don't know what it is. Maybe tonight you realize, I have a need, and I'm looking for my need to be met in so many other things. But your biggest need is a need for salvation. If that's you tonight and you realize that you need salvation, you need to be forgiven of your sins, here's what I want you to do. There are going to be leaders in the back. I want you to slip out of your seat. I want you to go find a leader. And I want you to talk to them. And they'll talk to you about what it means to follow Christ. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray for you. We're going to have two songs. This is a chance for you all to respond. To respond to changing the world. To respond to telling the world the good news of the gospel. So let's pray. Father, we love you. Father, you are so good. And Father, what an amazing privilege we have to share the gospel with the world around us. Father, you have given us a unique opportunity to make the name of Jesus famous. And I pray that, Father, you would start a fire within us, Father, to live out this great commission, to see that the name of Jesus is heard in every tribe, tongue, and nation. Because, Father, we know there is a world that needs you. There are people in our lives that desperately need you. And at this very moment, they are dying and they are going to hell. But, Father, we have the cure. Let's not be selfish, but let's be selfless. Let's be willing to do whatever it takes to see that they come face to face with Jesus Christ. Father, we love you, we praise you, and we thank you so much for the gospel. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.